From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Dana Cronin, in for Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, June 8th. Coming up, we'll hear about how renting out farmland can have environmental consequences. But first, these headlines. The rainbow flag is flying high in Urbana. As Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick tells us, some say the flag sends an important message.
On Monday, Joanne Geithner helped raise the rainbow flag above the Urbana City Building. She is part of Uniting Pride, which advocates for Champaign County's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. Geithner is also the mother of a transgender son. She says the flag's visibility sends a message to community members who may feel isolated.
We need to be visible so they can see that there are parents who love them, that there are community members who are interested in their health. Make sure that we are respecting pronouns, that we're respecting the identity of everyone, respecting who they love.
In 1975, Urbana was the first city in Illinois to pass a non-discrimination ordinance that included gays and lesbians. Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
The flash index to the Illinois economy increased to 105.3 for May. That's the second consecutive month above 100, which means economic expansion. The reading is almost as high as it was just before the COVID-19 pandemic. But University of Illinois economist Fred Gertz says the Illinois economy is not quite back to pre-pandemic levels.
So the economy itself, in terms of how much is being produced, is probably ahead of where it was 15 months ago, but unemployment is still quite a bit higher.
Gertz says the high reading is partly relative to the low readings during the pandemic. The flash index is based on Illinois tax receipts, which Gertz says showed strong improvement in May. A bipartisan group of downstate lawmakers is making a final appeal for municipally owned coal-fired power plants, like the one owned by City Water, Light, and Power in Springfield, to be spared from a 2035 closing date. That early closure is included in a tentative agreement on massive energy legislation lawmakers are due to vote on later this month. Hannah Meisel reports.
Some municipally owned coal-fired power plants have recently shuttered or will soon close some of their stacks. But one giant plant in Marissa, in the Metro East, only just opened in 2012. Prairie State Energy Campus has contracts with 60-some cities, towns, and energy co-ops in Illinois, and dozens more in a handful of other states. Representative Charlie Meyer of Oakville, who says he can see Prairie State from his farm, says the people he represents have no reason to trust the plant's early closure is in everyone's best interest.
I don't know why anybody in my district should be told that the state will help them adjust to closing our jobs down, our families, in our schools, in our small mom-and-pop businesses.
Prairie State was Illinois' top polluter in 2019 and is one of the top CO2 emitters in the nation. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Champaign County reported yesterday that a man in his 50s is the 150th person to die from the coronavirus. As of Monday, there are 114 active cases in the county and 15 people hospitalized. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District says nearly 50% of people eligible for the vaccine in Champaign County have been fully immunized. Public health officials say nearly 70% of adults in Illinois have received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose. Still to come, more than half of Illinois farmland is rented out, and there are environmental consequences for that. That's next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Dana Cronin. Increasingly, farmers don't own the land they work. That's particularly true in the country's breadbasket and can have environmental consequences. I looked at farmland rental data to figure out how the system is impacting the land itself. As I report, farmers who rent appear less likely to use conservation practices. Central Illinois farmer Lynn Warfel feels a deep connection to his land.
One summer afternoon, my wife and I were sitting on the corner of that horse tank over there. It was a hot afternoon, and it started to rain, and we both cried. We were so full of joy for that rain. My wife and I sat there and cried.
Warfel, now 80 years old, still owns the land that's been in his family since his great-grandfather arrived in Champaign County in the 1800s. But now he rents out the corn and soybean operation to his neighbors down the street. It's a crop share arrangement. Warfel provides the land and pays the taxes. His tenants provide the machinery and labor, and they split the profits 50-50. His tenants are good farmers, Warfel says, and he thinks his land is in good hands. Still,
of course, I watch them like a hawk. I live here. I watch what they do every day.
Not all farm landlords are like that, though. Many don't even live near the acres they rent out.
A guy who's renting the land from Springfield is not going to be sitting here with his wife, and he's not going to be crying when it rains.
More than half of Illinois farmland is rented, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's the highest rate in the country, but it follows a Midwestern trend. Soren Rundquist studies agricultural conservation practices for the Environmental Working Group, things like planting cover crops and their prevalence on Midwestern farms.
The sense we get it that it's more of a business decision, trying to make the most out of your investment in terms of renting land, planting your cash crop versus, you know, incorporating a best management practice.
For many landowners, it's all about making a profit. And while there are some existing conservation incentive programs, most of them involve long-term commitments. Most farmland leases run 1 year at a time. Illinois Newsroom and Harvest Public Media analyzed data from the 2017 Census of Agriculture. Those numbers show, in general, Illinois counties with higher rates of rented farmland have fewer acres planted in cover crops. Same goes for acres of no-till, a conservation practice that helps reduce soil erosion and sequester carbon that contributes to global warming. Gary Schnittke is a professor of farm management at the University of Illinois. He says many farmland owners don't see a profit in conservation programs that don't yield immediate returns.
The attitude of the landowner really matters, right? So if they're concerned about the long-term viability of the farm, which many of them are, so those things can happen. If on the other hand, those landowners want the largest current return you can get without much concern for the future, then you have more of an issue.
He says farmland is a pretty good investment. Bill Gates, for example, is America's top farmland owner. And that's why the rental system will likely persist.
I mean, it's the only system you got. So what you gonna do?
Lynn Warfel says the system we got could have long-term consequences for the soil.
If you don't protect the soil from wind and water erosion, and if you till it constantly with huge machines, that has an impact. And it's having an impact. We are losing precious soil.
He says to save the soil, we need more farmland owners like him who know how to take care of it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom. And finally, in your forecast for today, partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorm and a high of 84 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Jim Meadows, Hannah Meisel, and myself. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Dana Cronin, in for Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.